You Sunday, but what we thought we would do this Sunday, and this came out of our planning days in the spring. We do 2 3-day planning days yearly as pastors, prayer and planning days. And in the spring, what we thought we would do for No Excuse Sunday is, as I shared last week, each one of us as pastors are going to share their vision and their role. And so be prepared. I told you last week we'd each preach an hour. Wow, are you excited? We're just going to share for a few minutes each of our roles. Those roles have changed as we came together, merged the two churches. That's behind us and are growing and casting vision for the life of this church to reach the city and the world for Jesus Christ. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. All right, first of all, Pastor Ken, would you come? Pastor Ken is in charge of the care ministries, and he's going to share for just a few minutes this morning.
Praise God. Well, I'm in an interesting season in my life. I'm retired, but not retired, and I get to work 20 hours a week or thereabouts and involved in pastoral care in our assembly. And I'm totally enjoying this season of my life and working with the team and being involved in your lives and just in the life of the church. Let me just say this when it comes to pastoral care, it's not just my wife and I who do that. You do that too. You do that so well. Your involvement in helping the church with pastoral care, what that is simply is ministering each to another. And as the people of God, you do that well. And that's something that really, really excites me. Under that umbrella is, of course, our home groups. And don't forget that. That's Carol and I are excited to be involved in a home group and give leadership to one. And we're looking forward to the next season. And I hope that you will be involved in that and take advantage of that situation. It's such a powerful thing. Marriage Mentors, again, my wife and I are involved in that and enjoying that. And also we do ministry times at St. Joseph's and Riverview Care Center and visit in some of the different places that are around town, the hospitals and the institutions. And we are, my wife joins me in so much of this, and I'm so appreciative of her and the team that we are. Also with that, along with that, is our healing room. We call it the Oasis Healing Room, and that's an exciting ministry. We meet the second and the fourth Thursday of each month at the River Park campus, and from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and that's open to anyone who wants to come and drop in and receive prayer and ministry. We also take appointments. Over the summer, we've had 5 appointments that we've taken, calls that we've received, and we've gone out and prayed for people, and God has been gracious. I'm so excited for what God does in this ministry. You know, last week we were on a ministry outing, and when I got home, I was doing my devotions from Rick Renner. I do my devotions all through the day. Like, I start early in the morning and then different times during the day. Well, I was reading Rick Renner, and he was explaining Acts 10:38. That's when Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick, all that were oppressed of the devil, setting them free and healing them. And that word healing in the Greek, this just jumped out at me. The word healing means progressive. It's a process, a healing process that's at work. And you know, our team, I'm so grateful for our healing room team. We believe in the power of prayer and the ministry of the Spirit and the ministry of God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he touches people's lives. Our team, George and Isabel Wilcox, Gerhard and Hilma Brost, and Pastor Oscar and Monica from the Spanish church. It's just a great team who loves to pray with people, to pray for people, and to believe God to touch lives. And so if you have a personal need, and would like to receive ministry, you're welcome to come to the healing room. If you're not able to come, phone us and phone the office and make an appointment, and we'll do our best to minister to you and to touch your life. We're, of course, involved, my wife and I are involved in home visitations and hospitals and institutions as well, and we just want to be available to people. Our seniors ministries, our goal is that our seniors are involved in the ministry of the church, and intergenerational. In other words, we want to see them active in our home groups. We want to see them active in the life of the church. We believe in the seniors fruitful. Bearing fruit. At every season of our life, we bear fruit to the glory of God, and we declare His glory and honor Him. We are going to be hosting some events in the later on in the season, so we ask you to be alert and watch for that, and let God bless and guide. I know we're not to take too long. I don't know how my time is, but I do want to say this. I get to be a part of a team. And I'm so grateful for the team, our pastors. You know, I'm including myself, we have awesome pastors. We have the best Pastor Mark and Rebecca, Pastor Terry, Pastor Larry and Terry, Pastor Randy and Ida, our office staff, Lynn and Linda, you know, the church board. I've been involved in ministry. I started in 1970, figure it out. I've been involved with a lot of church boards, and most of them excellent. Well, I'm serving now in a team of excellence, excellent board leadership. Our treasurer, our the people who are committed to this church and to Christ, wow, that's all I just want to say. I'm so grateful for the team. I appreciate them, respect them, love them, and I'm just having fun working with them, working for Jesus, working for you. God bless you. God be with you.
Thank you, Jay. He has a way of keeping us all in line, let me tell you. It's wonderful to have Pastor Ken here. Well, Pastor Randy, I'm going to invite you up. When we initially brought Pastor Randy on staff, it was Family Ministries. And you'll see at the back of the bulletin, his title is Executive Pastor. He's going to explain a bit of that. And his organizational skills are amazing. And he's just done an amazing job. How many of you, let me ask this question, love the fact that there are children growing and here every Sunday morning? Yeah. So, Randy, thank you for your goodness and grace. Share with us your heart and role.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. So like Pastor Mark said, Ida and I have been here 2 years. We came out of a church out of Melfort, Saskatchewan, and God's timing is wonderful. As God was leading us out of Melfort, He was opening doors here. And with no joking aside, I'm in the best season of my ministry life ever. It's awesome. So we're excited to be here. We when we're away, we miss it. Last Sunday, I was away on a family function, so we missed being here, but we think of you when we're gone. And so like Pastor Mark said, when I came here, the first part of my role was to oversee children and family ministries. And that was to give vision and direction so that we would be able to influence the next generation of Christ followers. We would be able to influence their parents, their grandparents. So as I talk about my role and some of the things that stirs within my heart, I want to start there with Children and Family Ministries. This is something I've been doing for 20 plus years, off and on in roles. We're working with children and family. And since we've been here, we've been working from a very simple strategy called Orange. And Orange is a strategy that has two individual influences tucked within it. The first influence is the home or parents. And we understand that mom and dad are the two top influencers in a child's life. And so when we talk about the color orange, the home is represented by the color red, by the color that represents the heart or passion. And in children, get the heart of mom and dad when they're at home. So orange and the parents are represented by the color red. That's the first influence. The second influence is the church. And we understand in God's word, the psalmist writes in Psalm 78 that we as a church are called upon to pass on the trustworthy deeds of the Lord to the next generation and even children yet to be born. That's why we look at the church being a key influence within this strategy. And the church is represented by the color yellow, which represents the lampstand. It gives light to generations. And these are two great influences within this strategy. But where you get the color orange out of red and yellow is when you take two individual influences and you combine them together. And if you combine red and you combine yellow, what color do you get? You get orange. So when I talk about orange, we're talking about parents and church as a combined influence to ensure the next generation is taught the word of the Lord and influenced in ways that they will always stay in relationship with Christ. That is a key role of what I do. If you were to look at all of our job descriptions, you would find percentages beside each function or point. And so a vast majority of my job description still flows out of children and family ministries because we believe that's a very key component that we need. You saw the children that were here. There's going to come a day where we're going to have to put more steps here because we're not going to have room for all the boys and girls. So either we build the steps higher or we just build a bigger church. We'll do something like that. Last week we had 36 children. I don't know obviously our numbers from today, but from nursery through to grade school, which is in grade 5, we had 36 children that were in our ministry. We had 16 youth that were in our kickoff out at Dunmore Dugout. And we run our youth ministries around, where's Simon? Around 10 or 12 average, somewhere in there. So we had 16 out. How many did you have last night? Or Friday? 12, 13. So we've gone from not having youth ministry last year to approximately 12 youth this year. Is God at work in our body? Absolutely. Those are exciting things, obviously, for me, because children and youth are part of my heart, always have been, always will be. And I'm just thanking you for allowing me to be here to fulfill that role here. Thank you, parents, for allowing us, trusting us to have your children and to work with your children from week to week. It's an honor. The other thing that I would say tucks in with the children and family that Pastor Ken touched on is marriage mentoring. And that is something I'll simply say, if you would like to be mentored by a seasoned, mature, Christian, married couple, come and talk to me. Because we have some amazing marriage mentors already lined up and ready to mentor younger couples or couples who are in a season of life that would just like someone to walk with them for a while. If you are a seasoned couple and you would like to mentor someone, come talk to me. We'll take you through some very brief training and get you going. So that's kind of the marriage side of what we do here, and we're going to keep that moving forward. Last year, we added life groups to my role, and you know, there's a number of reasons why that took place, but I want to share with you one because it speaks from my heart and from Ida's heart. From the moment that Ida and I became Christians back in Saskatoon in 1981, we were privileged to be tucked into a group of, we were tucked into a circle. This circle represents a life group. And it's in this context that Ida and I grew. Because that circle was a place where we could ask questions, where we could bring our challenges, our struggles, the things that we were dealing with. And that group worked with us, prayed with us. The Holy Spirit helped us grow through that context. So life groups, obviously, that was very, very much a part of my spiritual development and my formation in those early years. And the crazy thing that happened in this circle is all of a sudden one day they started to turn me over and saying, Randy, we'd like you to lead one of these. So this is the first place where I exercised my spiritual gift of teaching was in the context of a circle. So that's why life groups are really important to me. And what I want to say to you is I want you to experience all of that and more through a life group. We have amazing life groups in this church. We have some amazing leaders who are prepared to help you in the context of a circle to grow and to develop, where you can ask your questions, where you can be challenged, where you can grow, where you can find fellowship, where you can find a group of people. If you broke down on the number one highway at 2 a.m, you could call your life group, and they probably all show up to help you back to Medicine Hat. That's what goes behind it in a life group. We as a pastoral team have a very ambitious goal for life groups because we want to see the vast majority of you in life groups. The reason is we care for you. We love you. We want what's best for you because we're your shepherds. We want to see you grow and mature in the ways of the Lord. So there isn't a sign-up sheet yet at guest services, but I'm sure if you went over and said, hey, I want to be part of a life group, I'm sure they could find a piece of paper and jot your name down. I bet you come and talk to me after the service and I'd give you an ear and say, hey, I'll get you into a life group because that's what we're going to do. Starting next week, we'll have more formal sheets out so you'll be able to sign up formally, but if you want to do that already, you do that. Our life groups start the week of October the 15th is when we kick off our campaign. October the 1st, you're going to hear a whole lot more from this service on what life groups are all about. There are life groups that are already asking if they can start meetings. So if you're a leader here and you want to start meetings as a life group, don't wait for me to give you the go. Just go. But we'll start a campaign on the 15th. The last part of my role is that executive role, what Pastor Mark talked about. And this is where Pastor Mark and Pastor Larry really start to think that Randy's strange. They really do. I'm strange because there's things that I like to do that maybe they don't like so much. And you see, I love the administrative leadership side. I love processes. I love policies and procedures. I love to strategize things out. It's kind of how I'm wired. And so whether it's working with a board, and Pastor Ken talked about a board. I don't know if you were going to do this or not, so I don't want to step on your toes, man. We have an amazing board. I echo everything that Pastor Ken said about this board. We met on Saturday morning. I think we must have met for 3 hours, and we all still liked each other at the end of the day. These are amazing godly deacons that you have put in place to guide this church. And working with us as elders, it is amazing what we're accomplishing. So thank you, board. You are amazing. So part of my role as executive is being that board liaison, working with our chairman and with the board to move things forward. And it's a pure privilege and joy. We have a great, great board. So that's part of the executive role. The other part of the executive role is working with our office, with our administrators. So we have Lynn, who's probably over in the edge. She's our office manager, so she keeps the office going, keeps everything moving forward. Linda is my ministry assistant, and she keeps my head on straight and helps me to move things forward as well. These are two amazing administrators. Amazing. They're behind the scenes way too much, but you have to understand that a lot of the things that take place in this church are driven by those two ladies, and we appreciate them very, very much. So it's great to work with them. I work with Curtis, who is sometimes I call him our sanitary engineer, sometimes he's our custodian, sometimes he's just a goofball. Curtis is our custodian, and Curtis and I connect and making sure that our facilities are good to go. Cindy, our amazing bookkeeper. Wow. keeps us on track and where we're going financially. So more and more I'll be working with Cindy in the executive role. Managing facilities, I love to make sure this place is the way it needs to be for you when you come. And so those are all the things that the executive side does at this point. So here's a Tuesday morning staff meeting. It's kind of like this. As elders, we're in this room over here, and we come to a point where Pastor Mark stands up in the meeting and he starts to bark a bunch of orders, and I just stand up and say, "Yes, sir," and I go and get it done, right? That's exactly how it works. He does a lot of barking. Not much bite, but there's a lot of bark. No, that's not how Pastor Mark operates. Pastor Mark, Pastor Larry, Pastor Ken, this is pure gold working with these guys. We have a lot of fun together and we get a lot of work done. And God works in the midst with all of us. So, what I would say, is sort of to wrap this up, is that each one of the functions that I perform cover all the spiritual gifts that God has given me. And to be honest with you, this is the first time in my ministry years that God has put me in a place where I can exercise each one of my spiritual gifts in a very natural way. And I praise Him for that. So, the other, you know, I'm in my dream job. Really am. I'd like you to be in your dream places of ministry or dream jobs. So, the last plug is on October the 14th. We have this ministry opportunity called Discovering Your God-Given Shape. I've discovered my God-given shape. I'd sure love you to do that. So why don't you come on a Saturday morning, spend a few hours with me and a few other people, and let's figure out what your God-given shape is so that you can get into the roles where God has designed you to fulfill. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Randy. Pastor Larry is in charge of outreach ministry. So if you're visiting today or you're new to the church, very quickly, Pastor Larry and I knew each other for a number of years, just made a great connection as friends, as pastors, and through that and through the flood 4 years ago, we brought, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the two churches together, which is now River Valley Community Church. So Pastor Larry, come share your heart.
Thank you. I was just looking at this table earlier. Is this more than just a prop today, or is there actually coffee in here? Okay. No, I'm good, thanks. But I think there will be some later, so that's a good thing. Well, it's good to be with you again this morning. I just want to share a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, where it says this: "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." These are interesting days. Very interesting days that we are living in. And we need to be people who are well prepared to meet the challenges that are already there and have been for some time and are beginning to evidence themselves a little bit more and a lot more as time progresses. And so we need one another within the body of Christ. We need each other to really, really step up and be there for one another and be there for our neighbors and be there for people that we work with and be there for people that we go jogging with and on and on and on and on. To be those bright lights shining in a world that needs a lot of bright lights right now. And so I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you to fill in the blanks. It's a verse that you know really, really well. But when I go like this, just fill in the blank. depending on which version of the scriptures you use. We'll get through this. You can do this because I believe in you, because you are believers and you know these things. So here we go. For God so loved the that he his one and only that whoever in him will never but have everlasting life. Absolutely. See, you can do this. And maybe for some of you, that is a verse, John 3:16, that you've never heard before, or have maybe heard at some point, and but you will get to know that verse and many others like it. And the reason I do that is this, that every believer, everyone who is a son or daughter of God, if you can recite that kind of a verse and have conviction about that verse, that it is true and real in your life for you and for anyone else. As a matter of fact, if you have any conviction that the whole world needs to know the fact that we just recited together, then you have a part to play. You have an obligation. You have a responsibility to those around you who may be not yet believers or may be brand new believers to help mentor them and bring them along in their fledgling faith. And so if you are warm-blooded and breathing and can fill in those blanks, you can take a brand new believer and you can mentor them along in their faith journey. You have what it takes because you have the Holy Spirit living within you. You have in possession the Word of God, and you can lead others to understand the basics of the faith, the basics of why we come to church on a Sunday morning, why we gather together in our homes for small group meetings, life group meetings, why we pray, and those kinds of things. One of the things that I've taken on is to put a little bit of shape to making sure that new believers in our congregation are looked after. But we need all of you to be part of that process. And so what I'm going to encourage, and I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to encourage you that if you know of someone who's a fairly new believer, by all means, there is something that I want to put into your hands that you can use as a resource. And you can tailor make it so that it will look exactly what is necessary for that individual that you might know. So you can sit down at a casual place like this, and within your own home, in a coffee shop. You can sit down, guys, as you're talking about hunting and cars and sports, and you can just take someone else alongside and lead them deeper in the things of the faith. And we all have a responsibility to do that. And I have a number of copies of this. It's called First Steps, One-on-One Discipleship. It's very basic. It's one-on-one. It's Christianity 101. Just goes through the basics in a number of sessions together. So if you need this kind of a resource, please come and talk to me. And I will put this resource in your hands and help you understand how to use it. A lot of guys, men in particular, maybe some women too, really struggle with sitting down and going through a book. Many of us guys aren't wired to do that. We've got to do something and be active in other ways. That's okay. Take the information that is given here. It's just so well laid out to help someone understand the basics of the Christian life, to plug in and allow them to ask any questions that they might have and help them understand and grow in their faith. And so I want to make that available. If you are a brand new believer and you feel like you're a little bit lost and swimming in a huge ocean of information, you know what? You need to be in a little tiny waiting pool for a little while. And that's okay. That's good. That's good. And if you're not sure where to go, come and talk to me or phone the church during the week and leave a message that I can get back to you and get you plugged in with someone who can take you through this material. And we may be offering this as well in a group setting for those who would like to work within a group on a particular evening of the week or a Sunday morning or something of that nature, those of you who are new believers. And I'm going to say, if you have never, never, ever discipled anybody else any new believer along in their faith, from the beginning of their fledgling faith, this is the material to go through. And maybe that's a good way for different ones of us to start, to get together in that group and go through this material so that you can have the confidence to absolutely lead anyone along in their fledgling faith. So that's important. We want people to grow. We want people to come to Christ and grow. One of the things that that I'm giving a little bit of shape to. One of the other things that takes a lot of attention, and it's a great ministry, is Oasis Cafe. You've heard a lot about this. Very few of you have had the opportunity to visit Oasis Cafe because we do this during the week. During the day. And so most of you are perhaps working during that time, so I understand that. But if you ever have a day off on a Thursday from 10 till noon, I invite you to come to Oasis Cafe and just come out and hang out with people. I trust that you're going through this fall 2017 booklet. If you don't have one yet, you need to pick one up and go through it and see the different ministries of the church as outlined. Oasis Cafe exists to serve the spiritual, emotional, and relational needs of the people from the River Flats community and from around the city. As these friends wait for their turn to select take-home non-perishable foods, relationships are nurtured while relaxing with a cup of coffee and enjoying a hot snack or meal. Oasis Cafe is staffed by a group of very enthusiastic and dedicated volunteers. And so Tuesdays, actually, most of the volunteers gather together, and we take the food that is brought by one of us. We'll take our truck and pick up the food from the Dream Center. We'll bring it to Oasis Cafe, and then there's this group of volunteers, goes through the food, places it on the shelves, and has a wonderful time together, serving together in that respect. Then on Thursday mornings, we get together again, and people come. And they receive food, but we have a devotional time when we start in the morning, and we make ourselves available to talk with, to pray with, to counsel with, just to encourage those that come. And it's a ministry where sometimes people say, well, we hear about this ministry all the time. Are they showing up in church on Sunday morning? Well, the answer to that is yes, many have. And some of you might be here this morning from Oasis Cafe, and that's awesome. The bigger answer to that, I think, is in reality, for many of those people, they're having church on Thursday morning over at the other campus. And so that's where they're gathering. And there are people that come that don't need food, but they just love to come and have a coffee. As mystifying as this is to me, there are people that come and say, well, we came here today because we wanted to hear your little story this morning. And I'm going, I take 5 minutes and share a little story. But for some people that don't have any other church connection, that's a life connection for them. And so again, if you would like to even just come and visit, we have some that come from this congregation just to sit down and visit with the friends that come from the city, from the community. You are vital. You are absolutely vital, and I appreciate you when you come and just make time to sit and talk with each other, with others there. That's an amazing thing. I would just like quickly to all of our volunteers, whether you're helping on a Tuesday or a Thursday, or you come to visit, why don't you just quickly stand wherever you are? Our volunteers for Oasis Cafe Ministries. Awesome. That's great. Yes. And it's one of those ministries where my wife Terry has really come alongside of me and taken the reins in really coordinating what happens with our volunteers on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And without her beside me, I couldn't do that. I couldn't fulfill this very well, and she's really filled in greatly there. Oasis Food Run, every third Thursday of the month, where again we receive food from the Dream Center, and then there's a group of dedicated volunteers who go out to a number of homes once a month, and it's approximately 100, give or take, homes that are visited within the North and South Flats communities. And it's the same volunteers that go out on a monthly basis. And so they're connecting, they're making relationships and deeper conversations and those kinds of things. And I know that many people look forward to that day or that evening when someone comes to their door with a couple of bags of food and groceries, drops it off, and maybe has a chat, maybe a listening ear, maybe there to pray for someone and so forth. So if you're part of that food run once a month, would you stand? If any, okay, we've got some, yeah, yeah. Terrific. Thank you for all you do. It's time, it's gas in your tank, and away you go, and you do those ministries. All of those kinds of ministries make a huge, huge difference in the lives of people in our community. We have connections, growing connections with Elm Street School, and we trust growing connection with St. Louis School as well. We also have a connection, of course, with Cape School. But we receive food that sometimes we are able to just give away to the schools for their breakfast programs or whatever. And we have a lot of currency as a church with the schools in our community here. And so a greater connection with one of the city liaisons that works out of Elm Street School. His name is Greg Campbell. And we've connected as a church body. And there's just huge doors of opportunity that keep opening to have influence in our community through some very tangible ways of meeting people with certain physical needs in particular. And thank you to those who sometimes bring food to drop it off here at the church or over at the other location. It's an amazing thing when we've got good food, fresh food, healthy food to give out to folks in our community and to build those relationships. Biker Church has started up again, and in talking with Tom and Carol this morning, I've heard that they had an amazing night last night. I wasn't able to be there, but they meet on Saturday evenings. Is it twice a month? And so watch for the dates in the bulletins and so forth. And it's really hard to find Tom and Carol because they sort of blend in with everybody else. But you know, you probably can find them if you look hard enough. But we appreciate the ministry that you're doing. And I just, from hearing from last night, I sense that that's going to grow and going to see some good things taking place with folks that, you know, wouldn't be comfortable coming to a service like this. But they might come to a Saturday evening where there is just a totally different style of doing things with a community of folks that would really relate to biking lifestyle and those kinds of things. And it's not limited to that. It's not limited to those who are bikers. But folks that feel they can't go to another church for one reason or another are always welcome on those occasions. So thank you for that ministry that you have going there. I think that's about the time that I'm going to take this morning. I'm wondering if I missed anything. Christmas outreach dinners. This is where we pull out all the stops and invite the community. We invite folks who go to the Oasis and partake of those kinds of ministries. And this last Christmas, boy, did we fill this place. And it was a beautiful banquet hall. It's an absolutely gorgeous banquet hall. When our King invited the community to come and receive his blessing with sons and daughters of God who are encouraging all of our guests to become sons and daughters of God. And so thank you again for all of you who have volunteered for that ministry. There's a lot of buildup for it, and it takes a lot of people to pull these things off. But you do it with such joy and anticipation and eagerness. It's just amazing. It's just amazing how you serve. And there again, that ministry has us connected with different city agencies as well. And that is growing. So these are exciting days. They're going to be demanding days. We need one another, as I have said. We need to know how to minister to one another. We need to know how to lead others to Christ. We need to know how to disciple brand new believers in their faith. And these are days where we've got to get on those things and do them. Pastor Mark, I'll turn it back to you. Bless you. Thank you for your support and encouragement. It's a joy to be here.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Now, I'm sure all of you, after those three shared what they do and so on, you're thinking, what do I do? Not much. I get the amazing privilege to be the lead pastor of this church. And in all honesty, we work very strongly as a team together. And it's been a real shift in my own heart and in my own mind. Some of you know my background, who've been in this, which was formerly Christ the King. Some of you know my background, that I came out of management and started pastoring a small little country church, great little town of Empress, in the year 2000. And then in 2006, came to this body of believers. And I remember the very first message that I ever preached. It was from Isaiah 58. Very powerful portion of scripture. And so as we grew and so on and so forth, but then as we came together and are growing and are looking at the future of the church, I've been given the role of being the lead pastor. That is an extremely, extremely humbling thing. I'll be very, very honest with you. But I am so thankful that I have a group around me, pastors, board of deacons, all of the volunteers, and especially the pastors, because it takes a shift in your mind to go from where you were shepherding before to now being a lead pastor and growing in where we want to go, because my mindset has to make a real leap and a change in how I shepherd and how I pastor the church. There'll be many things that, in all honesty, I won't have to put my hands on anymore, won't have to touch. I remember Pastor Randy had been here a few months, and we were in a staff meeting, and we were talking about the bulletin, and I was almost falling asleep. And Randy came up to me afterwards, and he says, "You know, Mark, I've noticed there's a few things," and he was so politically correct, "there's just a few things you really don't like to do." And I said, "Yeah, what would that be, Randy?" "Well," he says, "you're really not concerned about details in bulletins and in all that thing." I said, "Randy, I'd rather watch the paint dry." And so you see, as God, yeah, you can clap. Don't get me to do your bulletin. Don't get me to renovate your house. It'd be a nightmare. But if you tell me and ask me to preach God's word, and if you say there's a group of people that don't know Christ, my heart's desire, because my main gift is evangelism, I just want to preach to people who don't know Christ. I just want to see people, you hear it every Sunday, come to Jesus Christ. And so as lead pastor, my role is prayer. My role is being in the Word more. My role is preaching and putting the preaching schedule together. And it's casting vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Or the NIV says, where there is no revelation, they cast off restraint. It's really talking about the Word of God. It's talking about when we don't know the Word of God, and when we're not preached all of the counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation, the people cast off restraint. But you have to know what the vision is. And as pastors, I'm going to be very honest with you, we don't read books. We read a lot of books, but we are not getting our vision from a book. We are truly, I can say this honestly, getting our vision from 66 books. And we're hearing from the Holy Spirit as to where we need to take this church. And one of the key components, and Randy, you spoke so well to it, is small groups. And on October 1st, Sunday morning, this room is going to look a lot different, and it's going to be filled with tables. We're going to do it now, while we're able to do it, while we're the size that we are. And you're going to sit at a table. The tables are going to be right up to the front here, right to here, all around, because we're emphasizing the importance of being in a small group. That's part of the vision. We're emphasizing the importance of growing in discipleship, each one of us discipling one another, living life together. Acts 2, 42. Or 37 to 42, the book of Acts, coming alive. A lot of people say, well, that was then. No, that is a blueprint for the modern day church, that we get together in small groups, that we disciple one another, and the Lord added daily those who were being saved. Wouldn't it be a great thing? And I've said this over because you hear it, because it makes my heart pump, that we wouldn't just have, and we are so grateful for the people who have come to Christ and come to an altar Sunday morning. But wouldn't it be amazing? Can we dream a little? Can we cast the vision that daily there were people being saved in the city of Medicine Hat? Wouldn't it be amazing that we had to shift so quickly as a church and the church of Medicine Hat? People were coming to Christ. And so my passion is preaching the word, and my passion is seeing people come to Christ. And I have a passion for leadership, and I'm learning, and I'm going to continue to learn every single day of my life. I need to work more with leaders. Really, my role is now working more and more with leaders in the church, discipling them, identifying others who can lead, mentoring them, raising them up. I don't think Becky and I would be here today except for the fact that we've had mentors in our own life. Pastor Clayton in Vernon just identified the fact that we had a call of God on our life, and he just encouraged us constantly to get involved in the church. And folks, the truth is, we're as four shepherds encouraging you. Get involved in the life of the body and out there winning people to Jesus Christ. Because the true ministers of the church, hear this, take the word laity right out of your vocabulary. The true ministers of the church are you. And God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to train up the saints for the work of the ministry. That's you. You can lay hands on the sick. You can tell people about Jesus Christ. Don't be overwhelmed by that. It's one-on-one. It's one person that you can change their life just like that. And so our role, my role, identify leaders, and all of you in some way can lead, whether you lead one, whether you influence and impact one. So to lead. Now I want to, in our planning days in the spring, we came up what we believe was from the Holy Spirit, seven core values. But I want to share first of all, vision. River Valley Community Church's vision is to bring God's redemptive story to our own community and the world. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. The world and this community, to bring the redemption of Jesus Christ to people who need that hope. That's our vision. Mission: River Valley Community Church exists to love, serve, and offer hope. Out of that, as we prayed, we came up with seven core values. I'm just going to really go through these fast. We're going to preach on these in the new year. Starting October 15th, we're doing 9 messages on being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're hoping that our small groups follow that teaching and follow the messages as you study along in your small group for the fall. Number one, God the Father is love. Therefore, he calls us to love all people. Number one core value. Number two, God's love calls us to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we didn't put the scriptures up to all of these, but we'll preach through these. God's love calls us to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Number three, God's love calls us to mentor people. That's discipleship, what Pastor Larry talked about. God's love calls us to mentor people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's going to look different for all of us. We're not saying you have to do it this way, but his love compels us to build a relationship with someone and mentor them and walk alongside them. That can mean an hour a week, but God's love calls us to do that. Fourth one. God's love calls every believer to discover and engage in their God-given ministry. Pastor Randy talked about shape. finding what your gifts are, finding what how God has built you, and then we want to place you in the right ministry. And for someone who golfs, it's an amazing thing to hit a ball in the sweet spot. And so what God is doing in our midst is he's helping all of us as pastors to get into our sweet spot, how God built us. Pastor Randy made that clear, Larry, Pastor Ken, myself, getting us into our sweet spot. Because there's so many things now, which is so wonderful, that I don't have to have my eyes on and I don't have to touch and so on and so forth, and can concentrate on where we're going as a church and work with this team of elders. Where are we going? What is God doing? And what is God saying? And I want to say this. We all feel in our hearts a great sense of urgency. There's something stirring in our spirits that's urgent, that has to be done, that God is on the move. And I shared this last week as I shared the story of Iraq again, that the world is shaking. And yet we believe these are the greatest days for the church of Jesus Christ. And we believe if we're ready, God can bring harvest to River Valley Community Church. Isn't that exciting? And growing, and spiritually, and in every way. But these are great days. Fifthly, God calls us to participate in biblical community and a lifestyle of worship. And biblical community is, yes, a weekend worship service, and again, a small group. Vital. Sixth, God's love calls us to embrace the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're a church that believes in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're a church that believes in all of the gifts in the Holy Spirit. We're a church that believes there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that empowers the individual for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to preach and be a witness to all nations. We believe that the Holy Spirit should take precedence in leading this church. And we believe he's here to help us and to guide us. And we believe in all of the gifts in the Spirit for you and for us. And seventh, God's love calls us to a lifestyle of generosity. Generosity. We must continue in every way to be generous. Pastor Larry asked me to share at Oasis on Thursday morning. And I'm always marveled and come away absolutely amazed at how incredible that ministry is. And as you said, Larry, that Thursday morning is those people's church. And as I was able to share for about 5-7 minutes, I talked to them about how do you feel when your life is out of control. And Terry and Lyle, I shared with them when we were surrounded in Iraq. And you kind of felt like your life was not your own. Your life is not in control. Somebody else is in complete control of that. And you could have heard a pin drop. The Holy Spirit came in. Because here's the reality. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have anything. And unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor will labor in vain. At the end of the day, this is God's church. But he set us to lead you. And so as we process and pray, we will continue to cast vision to you. And as we're growing, we will continue to cast vision to you. And we're not here. See, here's my mercy gift. We're not here to make you comfortable. We're here to preach the word, to love you, but to move this church into the fullness of all that God has for us. And so it is really a humbling place to be able to be the lead pastor. But please be very patient with me. As you know, you must be. I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm changing. And I don't have the same role any longer. But we have great people in place, and we're developing more and more people that can do those things that, I used to do. And so unless I give some of those things up, honestly, and as a team together, if we're not changing and if we're not hearing the Holy Spirit, we're your leaders. We can't take you to the next place, that the next piece of beautiful pasture that God has for us. And I want to close with this. Would you please stand? Sharon, would you come to the piano? We've only taken a few minutes to really share our roles here, but we admonish you and we ask you to pray for us. Daily pray for us. Pray for the board of deacons, because we pray for you, because we want, there's nothing more what we want than to this church to flourish and be all that Jesus has called River Valley Community Church to be. That's our hearts every morning. Every morning. I believe that. So I know these men. I know the board. That's our hearts. And we so long to see your life transformed, and we so long to see people's lives changed. When I was in Iraq, I never told you this, Terry. Never told you this, Lyle. As I opened up the drapes to the room that we were staying in, at the beautiful, beautiful place, the Divan Hotel. Absolutely beautiful. And I looked over Erbil in Iraq. The thought crossed my mind and I went, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? What is this? Let me tell you a little story behind that. If we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in this church, and don't try and hold on to the methods of man, but listen to the Holy Spirit, there's coming a day, I mean, even look at the church this morning, where we're going to go, wow, what are we doing here? And the answer's going to be from the Lord, I did it. I did it. And I used you, because you were so willing to go along, and you said yes to me. You said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was like a moment. I'm standing there. What am I doing here? And the next day, we were almost full of lead. But God, right, guys? But God. But God. Because he's got a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And so pray for us, please, as we share our hearts and we cast vision and we go forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hands for the blessing? Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Baptize us again in the power of the Spirit, Lord. Lord, you said greater works we shall do because you go to the Father and you gave us the Spirit. And as a church, we say yes. And we're not saying it's going to be easy, but Lord, you are with us. You're beside us. You're guiding us. You're leading us. And we commit our lives fresh to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Every head bowed. I never close. I know we're having a barbecue, but there could be somebody here who needs Christ. If you're here today and you have never given your life over to the Savior, the Master Jesus, there's only one way to find peace in this world. There's only one way to heaven. And it's not just about heaven. It's about living a life fulfilled here. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And he shed his blood. There is no person in this world that was pure enough like our Lord and Savior Jesus. He was without sin. He was the Son of God. The very blood of God was shed on a cross for each one of us. The very blood of God ran down a cross because you and I were sinners. That's the truth. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, first, is to show us we're sinners. Secondly, to bring us to a loving God through his Son. If you're here today, you'd say, Pastor, I need Christ. Would you lift your hand and I'm going to have somebody pray with you at the end of this service. Is there anybody here? Yes, Lord. Well, Lord, I'm going to trust today, and you know everybody's heart. You know everybody's heart. But I thank you for this beautiful church, not the building, the people. We encourage you. We love you. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we all said, amen. Please just stay. Pastor Randy's going to give us instructions on our food.